Todd and Logan are friends who met on the internet. And Logan and Tyler are also friends who met on the internet. Yeah, Tyler and Bart are buddies too. And now it's the three of them and you.
Lots of danger at every corner, fighting androids and lots of monsters.
More than a podcast. Well, I guess it's only a podcast. And now it's time for a podcast.
Ooh. Welcome to BLT Lunch Break 44, I believe, or 45. I think it's 44. Welcome. Bart?
Still trying to figure out what number it is. Hello. Hello, everyone. Hello, everyone. Sorry we missed you last week.
Yes, we were out last week because, well.
My fault.
Yeah, it's all your fault always. It's like they chant at the ref when you go to hockey. Like, it's all your fault. It's all your fault.
I was just standing in line for Flight of Passage eating cheeseburger pods. So.
Oh, man, don't make me crave the cheeseburger pods.
They are good. I'm going to tell you, though, they just taste like a White Castle.
I was fixed to say they're like a better version of a McDonald's cheeseburger is what they taste like to me.
Okay. Yeah, after having that chicken thing, y'all, I was not a fan of the cheeseburger pods, but I don't think I would. I think I would have liked them if that was my only option. But like as a side, I was like, eh, it's all right.
Well, I mean, and I talked about this already on my show, but I thought that the bread, whatever that bun is around them, was a little thick and a little dry as compared to, because I thought it would be like a steamed bun, but it was still, I enjoyed it. I got one of the bowls as well. Now, for those, the three of you listening that aren't Walt Disney World fans and don't know what we're talking about, I was at Walt Disney World, and this is inside Pandora at Disney's Animal Kingdom, the world of Avatar. A little restaurant, and you get these cheeseburger buns, and they look like little baseballs, and they have cheeseburger meat inside.
They're more like big white Hershey Kisses, is what they look like.
Yeah,
that's the shape.
They
right?
got a little thing at the little thing at the top, almost like they'd been tied. Almost looks like an onion or a clove of garlic.
Yeah, like an onion.
Yeah, but and then
no,
I got
no,
one
no,
of the
no,
bowls.
No, no, a piece of garlic, like a garlic thing,
like a garlic clove.
Is it clove?
No,
wait a minute.
Is it clove if it's entire? Or is it clove if it's a piece?
A whole garlic is a clove.
It's a clove.
Oh, I thought it was just like the pieces inside.
Or is that a clove of garlic? Like, is it just garlic? Like a slice of an apple?
If only there was a
like,
the show is already off the rails.
If only there was a device you could type questions into and get multiple answers.
When I start doing that, my whole system shuts down. You get delayed. It doesn't work. So I try to refrain from Googling.
All right. We'll just assume it's a clove.
Sure.
I'm right.
Any vampires listening, let's
but,
know.
Yeah. But I also got one of the bowls, and I got the beef, and I chose the rice for the grain, and I had the chimichurri sauce, which was delicious.
Yeah, buddy.
I was a big fan of that bowl. Although also, you could say that tasted very similar to a Chipotle steak burrito bowl. But there's nothing wrong with that comparison either. So it was. I ordered a few different things to kind of try everything. Because, you know, this was research. This was science. I didn't go to enjoy it.
Right.
I was doing research.
Of course. You did it
for
the fans.
But it was. That's right. It was for the people, not me. But I enjoyed everything. Except, I take that back. You know what I didn't actually enjoy that much? That I was very disappointed that I didn't? Was the blue blob. The blueberry cream cheese mousse.
Yeah, it bummed me out as well.
Not a fan.
See,
such a weird...
I don't know.
Texture was so weird.
It's like eating yogurt congealed in a... It's just not what I anticipated.
See, I thought maybe mine had been sitting out too long or something. But if, you know, like that little white dollop on top was hard. Like in my video, you see me hitting it with a fork.
Logan, are you okay? It sounds like what the heck?
What? Hello?
What?
Is everyone there?
Someone's swimming. Someone's swimming right now.
Y'all have no interference.
Whoa.
It's not picking up on the microphones, though.
Yeah, so move on. Hold on, let me see if I can just adjust for
the listeners have no idea what's happening right now.
It's okay. We're having some audio interference. In our phones.
Yeah, I'm not picking it up, so.
No, we're good. We're good.
Fine.
Well, you had a good time, though.
But anyway.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you are confused as to what is happening, there was a hurricane in our in our headphones.
Ooh, that's a good song. Hurricane in my headphones.
It sounded like Logan was fighting a bear there for a little bit. I didn't know what was happening.
Okay. But I mean, hurricane in headphones, that is a Jimmy Buffett like third string single. That like it's like one of those ones that's like, is this it kind of it's better than everybody's on the phone, but it's not quite.
I must be the only one who enjoyed the blueberry cheesecake thing. Some people thought it was too sweet. I didn't think so, and I'm not even a big sweet guy. Like, I thought it was very just lightly sweetened. I don't know. It was so strange. I enjoyed it.
I'm a cheesecake lover, and I thought it was going to be more cheesecake, and it was more yogurt.
That's another song.
Cheesecake lover? Yeah, it's good.
She's a cheesecake lover.
I don't care if it's juniors. I don't care if...
I like cheesecake too.
Can you believe it?
It just doesn't taste like cheesecake. Oh my god.
That was way before both of your times. Phil Collins and Philip Bailey, Easy Lover. Oh, thank you very much. Very nice. Fine.
One of the guys
did
in
you
guys
our see, though, that
office
they
has...
have a holiday
what?
Satuli Canteen has a special holiday blob.
Yes.
That's red instead of blue.
What?
When I was there, Tim got it and actually said it was pretty good, except it says it's cinnamon, and he said there was zero cinnamon flavor at all. But it just looks like a big red blob.
Yeah, Tim
with a piece
doesn't
of white
like cinnamon
bark. Yeah, he doesn't. Yeah, because I know he doesn't like the Trader Sam's drinks either. But which they have a wonderful holiday beverage on special right now. That's worth the price of admission.
Tropical snowstorm.
Arctic snowstorm. Yeah, or was that what it was? I can't remember what it was called, and I'm the one who drank it, but it was good.
Well, that's a good thing.
I wish they
you
had a holiday tiki mug
called.
To put it in, but yeah. It was good.
I wasn't a big fan of the holiday tiki mug that they released over there in California.
Was that the elephant?
Yeah, I thought it was kind of odd.
Mm-hmm.
Looked like a Christmas vacation. Like something, I don't know. It was weird. Yeah, no, I might be going back down to Florida here pretty soon before Christmas. I would probably already be down there if I wasn't hit by the flu train. But I'm hoping that I can get over to Trader Sam's and try that tropical snowstorm because, Bart, you made me want it, man.
Well, I was hit by a hurricane. Wait, I was hit by the flu train. Jake found the hurricane in my headphones. I'm working on it. I'm going to write this song.
That's very nice.
Anyway.
Well.
Yeah, go. And I tell you, we couldn't get a seat inside. I got there. The place opened at 4. We got there at 4:12, and it was packed already.
I think that's the wrong thing to do. I mean, like,
yeah,
get there.
You're probably right.
And get there, because everybody's going to do that. Everybody's going to line up.
Yeah. But what annoyed me is there were plenty of tables where it was one person having a drink, and everybody else drinking water and taking pictures. I like, look here, looky-loos. Get up. But it didn't work out that way. But actually, like I said, we ended up sitting outside.
Did you say that?
Once I showed him kind of all the gimmicks. And we had a great, it was a very nice time. We had a wonderful time sitting outside. Had a great server. The waterfall's flowing. They had Hawaiian Christmas music playing on the breeze, you know. It was beautiful.
Oh, cool.
So I really can't complain, except that they weren't serving the tiki drinks in the tiki mugs outside. Now, this is weird. The only thing you could get in the tiki mug was the Aoa or the Nautilus. And for those who don't know, those are like the drinks for two or more people, although I think that's a misnomer. I think you could easily tackle one on your own. Everything else, they weren't serving in the tiki mugs because they said, and I quote, "Our dishwasher is broken." I thought, isn't this Walt Disney World? Couldn't you pretty much snap your fingers and have another dishwasher installed in about 10 minutes? But or just have someone wash the dishes? But
well, wait a minute. What was washing the dishes inside?
Right. That's what I don't know. That's the other question. They were serving them inside, as far as I know. I saw a hippopotami tie get served in a glass, in a tiki glass, so... And, but I said, well, can I still get my, because I ordered a hippopotami Thai, and I said, well, can I still get the glass, like, to take home? She's like, oh, yeah, we'll give you one in a box. We just don't have any to serve in. So that was a little weird, but it was fine. Who cares? So.
Good. Do you have, so overall, good trip,
also,
though?
Also, oh, it was excellent. We had a wonderful trip. It was a much-needed father-son bonding time. It was a good time.
I think.
But Tyler, you might know the answer to this. The hippopotami Thai glass, didn't it used to be clear?
Yes, sir.
Now it's not. Now it is kind of a aqua color.
Yeah, and the one over in California is like a wood color, like a light.
Ah.
Yeah. Ah. I
actually prefer mine to the clear glass, but I was just surprised by that.
Yeah, I got the clear glass. I like it. I thought it was cool. The one, I think the one at the Enchanted Tiki Bar, which is what Trader Sam's is called in California, for those that don't know what the crap we're talking about. I think it had more of like a green tint to it, and mine's more blue. I don't know. It might be the other way around. It's very slight difference, but this change is like, you know, obvious. Yeah, I saw the I saw the one that you have. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's ceramic. It's not even like plain glass like the other. But yeah, we had a wonderful trip. Of course, it was too short. It was a little chilly the first couple days. Actually, I mean, but you know, us being northerners, it wasn't so bad. Although it did. By the first full night, Wednesday night, I broke down and bought a sweatshirt. I bought my son one that morning. He was struggling with the cold weather. And we got up early to go to breakfast. And like, we brought sweatshirts. Like, should we take them? And I'm like, man, I don't want to lug sweatshirts around. I'm like, we'll be fine, right? We're from Chicago. We can handle this. We're not some thin-blooded Floridians. And by the time we got to Magic Kingdom, he's like, I need a sweatshirt, Dad. So I was like, all right, it's your birthday. I'll buy you. So I bought him a hoodie for his birthday, and he loved it. And then I thought I could make it through the day. But once that sun started going down, ooh, forget it, Jack. We were at the Poly. I went into the Moana Mercantile and bought the 2018 hoodie. The year of being here is the theme. And it's kind of a, not steampunk, but they're using a lot of gears in the designs and logos for 2018.
I've got one of those almost last, like, huh? So sorry.
I was almost like, what was it? What was the one where they worked on the clock? Was that called Clock Keepers or something?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
The old Mickey short. Anyway.
Hey, I've got one of those last minute Disney sweaters. I bought it, during that trip I was telling you guys about, where it was like 23 degrees in Walt Disney World. I paid like,
oh boy,
40 something bucks for this big, huge, giant sweater. And it has a hood on it and everything. It's the ugliest looking thing. Like, I put it on, I look like the Michelin tire dude. But man, it kept me warm. And I still have it. It's in good shape, too.
If anyone's in the market for one, yeah, it's for sale. It's it gets in good shape, like worn, used once.
So I forget where the poll ended up. Are we not supposed to talk about Star Wars?
The overwhelming amount of people said, spoil it, we don't care. But
I concede.
It wasn't, though, like 98%. It was like 70%. So
this is what I was going to text you, Logan, last night. It's something that I can say on the podcast, definitely. I thought when I said that, he'd be like, oh God, what? No.
Yeah.
No, it's, this is the way I look at it. Like, there are YouTube shows out there, are YouTube channels that have videos, you know, spoiling Star Wars right now. And people like me, if I hadn't seen it, I would just wait to watch it until I've seen it. So, I mean, like, you can make this a Star Wars episode and then people just wait until they see it. Just tell them, hey, spoilers.
Yeah, we're at 15 minutes in. We can say, hey, 15 minutes in, I can put that at the top of the show. We start this conversation. And it's okay.
Good idea.
I don't feel like we have to, like I watched a 90-minute Kevin Smith review, and about 80 minutes of it, I feel like, was him just saying what happened in the movie. It was a really good review, and I really liked his point of view, and I agree with a lot of the things he had to say, but there was a good portion of it that was just literally scene for scene recapping the film. So I've seen it twice. I went opening night and then about 12 hours later. And I haven't posted a lot of my reviews and my thoughts because honestly, I've been working through them, and it's been something I'll say this. After the second viewing of this film, I loved it. I loved The Last Jedi. Are there some pretty glaring issues that I had with it? Yeah, absolutely. But the first time around, I was just stunned and shocked at what I was even watching, and had a lot of issues with, and I've said this before, the film, if you haven't seen it, I don't think, well, it doesn't matter if we're spoiling it. The first hour is pretty funny. A lot of jokes, like Guardians of the Galaxy level of jokes. So much so that I was taken aback. Like it distracted me from even the jokes. In some of them were very Star Warsy, and the first scene with Poe, I feel like that fit well within the universe. And then some were like almost corny jokes, and I liked them. And again, I like them in the Guardians of the Galaxy. But I think what happened was the marketing department decided, we're going to market you The Empire Strikes Back. We're going to market you Blade Runner, with how dark they had been positioning this film. And then for the first hour to deliver joke after joke after joke, I started to just wonder, where are we going with this? And it kind of took me out of the movie. Then, the flying Leia moment happened. And I was like, what?
Yep.
What is happening? What is happening? Like, who? How did this? What? And then all of a sudden, this is just maybe kind of wrap mine, the Yoda sequence happens. And when that happens, the movie changes. And I pretty much adore the rest of the film. As a standalone movie, I think this movie is excellent. I loved it. I really did. It's one of my favorites. I think it's the best score maybe of all the Star Wars movies. It's a beautiful movie. But it almost doesn't fit within these other seven that exist. So it's kind of hard to wrap my head around. I don't know. I have a lot of specific thoughts, but I'll kind of interject my feelings. But overall, I very much enjoyed it the second time around, knowing what I was getting myself into.
Maybe I need to see it a second time then, because I got to tell you, I honestly walked out going, man, I just didn't really like that. I mean, I agree. There was some stuff I really liked. I loved seeing Yoda and the fact that it was, a practical, actual Yoda puppet like back in the day. That he sounded like Frank Oz again, all that. I loved that. Even though, even some of his dialogue was like, a page turner. It is not. I mean, it was funny, but it was like, all right, that's kind of corny. But I loved that part. But I just, man, I still struggle to even figure out what the plot was exactly. Like, so what, we're just the First Order's trying to get done to run out of gas? Is that what's happening here? I don't know. But
pretty much.
But I didn't hate it. And again, let me preface this by, as I always say, I'm not the world's biggest Star Wars fan to begin with. I like it, but I don't psychotically love it. It's not Harry Potter or Jurassic Park to me. But I respect it. And I love it. I love the characters and the worlds and the creatures and things. I felt like we didn't even get enough of that. I was disappointed by the waste of Benicio del Toro's character. I would have liked to seen him kind of,
I'd agree with that,
hang in there. I think that could have been more interesting. Although I was just reading that the original thought that Rian Johnson had was to have that be Lando Calrissian, but he's like, how can we have Lando betray them again? That wouldn't make sense, and it wouldn't. But I am a little disappointed that Billy Dee hasn't shown up yet. I hope now that JJ's back, that maybe as some kind of fan service, or maybe as an olive branch, because so many fans are freaking out about this one, maybe they'll bring in Lando, especially because, well, here's the question for you. I mean, we don't have to get specifics into the movie stuff, but do you think Luke will return in episode 9?
Yes.
As a force ghost? 100%.
Yes.
Luke Skywalker, we have not seen the end. We have seen now the next adventure of Luke Skywalker.
You would assume so. I mean, yeah, he even says, see you around, kid, or something like that.
Yeah, he's back, I believe. And I'll be pretty disheartened if they don't do it. I was actually talking to my friend last night. I almost wish they had done the Ben Kenobi just voice that you hear in A New Hope, where he's just,
Yeah.
And like almost gave you that little bit of like, you know, have Ray at the end. All of a sudden you hear him go, Ray. And then like that would have been a really neat moment that would have set up, oh, you know, Luke is one with the Force. It's not. Which was tough to watch, I'll be honest. As a lifelong Star Wars fan, as someone who has grown up some up with these characters, I don't know. I don't love having to watch the end of these characters' lives, but I thought it was beautiful. I thought the scene itself was beautiful.
Here's my other question, and you've seen it twice, Tyler. Have you seen it once or twice?
Just once, or
three times, just one. Why did he die? That's my question.
I think. Well, I think
I knew. I figured out almost immediately that he wasn't. He wasn't really there.
I think it's separate interpretation.
Oh yeah, there was.
Was it?
Oh yeah. Well, the stress of doing it. Yeah, okay. Projecting himself across the galaxy.
Yeah, because Kylo earlier on says that kind of Force strength, because that's what happens with him and Rey, would kill Rey. But I also think that it, I don't know, I kind of look at it, I think it's up for interpretation. I think you could also see that, yes, he obviously was strained and stressed, and this is something that happened to him. But you also have where, you know, I've always thought, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi decided to become one with the Force. At that moment,
right.
He didn't necessarily die. He was able to, you know, go.
That's true. I guess that's a good point. So maybe Luke did the same thing.
Yeah, maybe Luke was like, all right, my adventure in this part of my life is over. I have to move on into the next step. I kind of take it that way. I like that way better because it's just I just think I like that better as a character part, you know, looking out into the horizon, looking into the next adventure as he did in the first film. That's something that connects with me as a human being.
Can it be both?
Character. What?
Can it be both?
It can be both. I don't think that's what I'm saying. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer to that. I think that's however you want to interpret it. But I don't know. I kind of lean on that a little bit. And then that final sequence, the first time around, when they go back to Canto Bight and you see the children, I was again kind of confused of what I was looking at and why, you know, this kid can move a broom with the Force, but somehow, you know, Anakin couldn't even do that. You know, there were some of those moments, but the second time around, man, that hit me really hard. And I honestly wish that was the end of the next episode. You know, this to me was for Ryan to set up his trilogy, to set up how the Force is moving around. But I wish they had given that moment to episode 9, because I think that would have been a really poetic way to set up the new characters, the next trilogy that's separate without or while keeping it within the universe. But I think the fact we have another chapter kind of throws that off a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. And I told you also I didn't like that scene for other reasons, which I won't get into here.
Yeah, well,
be made fun of. But
what I liked about it was I love the fact that they're in Star Wars now. There are kids playing Star Wars. You know, there's a kid.
Yeah.
You know, that to me was like a really cool thing. The fact that within these kids are us when we were little, and they are and obviously not necessarily in the same, you know, circumstances, but the fact that they have a, you know, makeshift Luke Skywalker action figure, they're telling their own little story. And then that inspires them to be this next generation. Like that rang really true, I felt, to the spirit of the way this story could progress and have the Skywalkers still be involved without actually having to be there. You know, that it all still stems from that story of Luke. And I don't know, I really liked that part of it.
Can I pose a question to both of you? Because you're both pretty intense Star Wars fans.
I have no opinion.
I'm sure you don't. No. Especially the original.
In all honesty, I'm more like I've always said. I mean, I was always more on the Indiana Jones side of the Lucas board. So Star Wars was important to me when I was younger, maybe around 13, maybe even younger than that. But so now I do like the new films. But no, I was always Bart. I'm more like you. I'm more of a Harry Potter fan, which I feel like Disney is trying to turn Star Wars into Harry Potter. Like lightsabers are becoming wands. You know, they choose the Jedi
a little bit.
you know, and it's so funny that people thought that Harry Potter was a Star Wars ripoff, and now Star Wars is ripping off Harry Potter. The whole connection to each other and manipulating their memories and all of that, Snoke connecting to Rey, that's Voldemort connecting to Harry, projecting those false images into his mind in the Department of Mysteries. Like, I was like, that's Harry Potter. I looked over at my nephew,
This is how you feel. See, I say, I'm totally fine with that. That's exactly how I felt when I watched the first Harry Potter film. I was like, wait a second. This is the plot to A New Hope. We're seeing Star Wars here. So I don't mind that. I kind of like that these are our universal
It's so funny. I just think it's funny that Star Wars fans got on to, you know, Harry Potter fans are like, oh, it's just a ripoff. And then now it's like Star Wars is ripping off Harry Potter. It was like, but, you know, I think that's fine. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But yeah, no, I have no opinion.
Well, what was the question?
Well, here's my question. Here's okay. my question. I really enjoy The Force Awakens. I loved it quite a bit. I really, really like Rogue One. I think Rogue One is fantastic. And again, I kind of look at it as almost an outsider looking in. Even though I saw the last two Star Wars of the original trilogy in the theater first run, I'm old enough to have done that. Yeah. But I kind of feel like, and this one really drove it home for me, like, I almost feel like they've, I don't know if I want to say invalidated or negated everything that was accomplished at the end of Return of the Jedi.
Absolutely.
Because nothing was resolved. Like, they killed the Emperor. Yeah. It sure seemed like at the end of Return of the Jedi, like, finally, they've won. There's going to be a new republic. There's going to be peace. And now, all of a sudden, boom, we've got a whole new, we've got all a First Order. We've got a million stormtroopers. We've basically got a new Emperor and a new Vader and all this. It's like, was all that for nothing? Like, I guess I kind of, I would rather either A, we got a, like, I wish this new trilogy would have started at the beginning of the First Order. Like, how did they get back?
Right.
How did they come back to power after that? Or, I'm like, I wish we at least would have got some more backstory on Snoke before he got sliced in half. Or let's just, why do we have to have another empire? Let's have a new threat.
Right.
It's because it's really such a rehash of the Emperor, Darth Vader, and the Stormtroopers. Even the Emperor's guards are red again.
Yeah.
It's like, it's such a rehashing that why don't we just have something completely new? I almost feel like it invalidates the first trilogy.
Yeah, I would say that as a diehard fan of the OT, of the original trilogy, I do, I've struggled with that. And that's why there's a little bit in the back of all of us original trilogy kids. And I would say, I grew up in the, you know, where I didn't get to see them in the theaters, but I grew up in the 80s and the 90s and the early 90s to where when I saw the movies, that was it. You know, we had no hope of a future of a Star Wars. You know, it ended with Return of the Jedi. Like, that was it. Like, that was it. It's over. I was never upset with that being the end. I was never upset that the good guys won over evil, that Luke, Han, and Leia, you know, we're able to create this. That is part of the reason that kind of bums me out, because the fact that we're going to see Luke, Han, and Leia not be able to accomplish any of their goals. Our three main characters, and even the Skywalker lineage, you would say, you know, starts with evil, ends with evil, presumably. I mean, if Kylo Ren turns good, I want them to get super creative in the way they do that, because to fully redeem him, I don't see how you could even do that at this point with it being believable.
That's what I don't get. Like, okay, did you guys see, Logan, I know you did, but Bart, did you see Star Wars in a packed house?
The new one?
Yeah.
The Last Jedi?
Yeah,
I actually saw it at the AMC Disney Springs on Saturday morning. And yes, we literally got the last two seats available in the front row, far right. So that probably didn't help my feeling either.
I always see these big movies like in the IMAX. You know, that's where I saw all the Harry Potters. Heck, that's where I saw Revenge of the Sith. Like, the house was packed, and like every laugh, everyone laughed. You know, every awe moment, everyone awed, everyone cheered. You know, and when Kylo cut Snoke in half, everyone cheered.
Oh, yeah.
When Rey and Kylo fought together.
Yeah.
And
when she
throws
him her lightsaber, oh yeah, they went nuts.
And I did too, but then I thought, why am I cheering for this guy?
Yeah.
He murdered his father. Like, he's not
I've been saying that this whole time. Like, you cannot redeem him at this point. Right. When that all started happening, I was like, no, don't do this. You cannot. I won't accept it. And then when the crowd cheered, I was like, how can you people be happy about this? He killed your hero.
Okay.
Right.
He killed your martyred hero with a cross, by the way.
And I thought the only way
you're cheering for him.
The only way I thought that Kylo Ren, and this was just me as a writer, and I do kind of think that it would invalidate the moment a little, but I did kind of like the idea that maybe he was an undercover agent. I think me and Logan talked about this. Like, he was going undercover by orders of Luke to kill Snoke. Like, that was his plan. That was their plan all along. And Snoke was on to him, and the only way he could prove that he wasn't a double agent was by killing his father. And that was the whole, I know what I have to do. Like, but I...
Maybe Han had a curse in his hand, Tyler, and it was going to spread within a year. And so he asked him when the moment came to kill him. I bet that's what it was.
Here's what I feel. Kylo Ren... They've created a character that I would say is for a lot of us fans, is probably, I mean, I think it's without a doubt, he's the best new character we've been given in this whole trilogy, or so far in the new movies. Adam Driver's an incredible actor. You can pick apart every part of The Last Jedi, but to me, if you look at Kylo Ren's arc and his story and who he is and his dialogue and acting and character, you want to kind of, like, I want to love him because he's a character. I love Adam Driver. Like, I really do. Like, I want Kylo Ren to be, in my mind, do I like that he killed Han Solo? No. Han Solo was my, one of my childhood heroes. But I also believe that, he was under some, with mind control with Snoke, and you see that, and then he'd kill Snoke. And then I sort of, I think that it kind of put fans in an interesting spot when he's like, kill the past. No, we should rule the galaxy together. Forget the Jedi, forget the Sith, forget the First Order and the Empire. All of this is crap. There is a little bit of me that was like, all right, I'm in. Like, let's see where this goes. I liked the idea of him. Like, I can't figure out personally how to paint the picture where he gets redeemed. Because I've never been under the camp that Darth Vader was redeemed. I've always been
no. I'm Darth the Slytherin.
Darth Vader didn't want his kid to be killed. There's a lot of bad people who love their families.
Right.
Like, that's never to me been like, oh, yeah, he just turned. I mean, yes, the Force Ghost part can tell you that, yes, he somehow redeemed his spirit, and that's great. I got no problem with that. But a little bit of me is like, no, there's a big difference between saving the galaxy and saving your son.
True.
And
Tony Soprano loved his kids.
Right. Right. Yeah. And that's why that character was so endearing as well. That's a really good example. Kylo Ren is very much in the Tony Soprano where he does horrible things, but you love him. I could see them coming up with some way to creatively do it. I do think Kylo is redeemed to some extent. But I also don't think we're going to get a full-on – to me, I would love something that's completely not Return of the Jedi. I love they killed Snoke because that removes that crutch where it's like, well, sorry, you don't know where this is going at all now because, in your head, Kylo turns on Snoke. Somehow he dies, but he does that. Well, we've already gotten that out of the way. So I love that now that's a new mystery to figure out, all right, where are we going to go with this? Because after that one, I got no clue where this story goes. And I'm coming to grips with that it's not – at all what I pictured this film to be. And I feel a little bit, happy in that because it was a surprise. There were general moments where I was shocked and surprised for the good. But then I look back on it, the scenes that I truly loved were scenes that really relied on nostalgia. To me, the Yoda scenes and the projection of Princess Leia, those were my moments that were like, oh, like, you could not have scripted these scenes better. But I still don't necessarily see how this wraps up. And it is a bummer to me, as a fan of the original trilogy, like you said, that it almost will always be a little bit fan fiction for me. Like, it will always have a little bit of that tinge of being like, I don't know if I necessarily consider this – I'm glad there's new Star Wars, but almost the original trilogy will always stand on its own to me. That's just sort of where I'm at.
Well, that's what I told you. I mean, it's to me, the film, like, see, I feel like I'm going to be the opposite of you, Logan. I feel like when I saw it, I loved it. Like, me and my nephew, we walked out. We were like, that was great. Now, I did have, as a writer and a, you know, a creator, I was like, I was unsure of Rian Johnson's direction. And I felt this sense of no resolve. Like, I felt like I didn't get anywhere. Like, it was just more filler. And I feel the reason why that is because he kind of, and I think I told you this, Logan, he pushed a reset button.
Right.
Like, he undid The Force Awakens and made everything in it pointless. Like, everything that was set up in there, like, means nothing. Like, the questions that we've been asking for 2 years, they don't matter. Like, so now we're back to square one. So I feel like if I watch The Force Awakens, I'm going to be even more mad. And then if I go back and watch, The Last Jedi, I don't know. I feel like I won't like it as much. So, I don't know, man.
Yeah, you put these together as one long movie, which they can be edited to be that, it doesn't feel like you're even operating in the same plane of existence.
Like, yeah, that's what I was wondering. Like, if you watch these back to back, I wonder how you'd feel at the end of it.
I don't want to do it.
It is like watching two completely separate movies.
Yeah. That's the thing. I think The Last Jedi alone is a fantastic movie that I love, that I genuinely love. But when you put it in the context of what came before it, it's just out of place. And that doesn't mean I didn't like it any less. It just doesn't click with everything else.
I wonder if, because, you know, when they announced, okay, but even before it came out, they announced Rian Johnson's going to helm his own trilogy now. So, and
do you think
when I heard
take
that, I thought,
away from him?
No. But what I think, I was like, boy, they must really like what he did. But so I wonder, but then they go and announce, okay, now J.J. Abrams is coming back to finish this thing. So I wonder if Disney's looking at it like, wow, Rian made us a great, great movie that doesn't fulfill the need we had for this franchise, but we really like what he did. So let's give him his own toy box in the same universe, but let's bring back the guy that did the fan service that made everybody happy to finish this thing, to get the kind of, we know this is going to leave a bit of a sour taste in fans' mouth. Let's bring back the Candyman, J.J. Abrams, and he'll give us. So I wonder if that means, I wonder if JJ's gonna. So, because here's the question now: does Episode 9 continue down this path of destruction that Rian Johnson has paid?
Yeah, it's like, oh no. Kylo Ren was lying. Your father really is Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, your father was Obi-Wan, and da, da, da.
You know,
yeah,
they,
or does he try to right the ship and finish it on a high note?
They planted seeds with that reveal. You know, watching it the second time around, to where if he wanted to just flip it, and her parents are not nothing. They easily can. There's an easily explainable.
I believe they. I don't believe for a second that her parents were just, you know, traitors who traded her for booze drinking money.
I think Kylo Ren thinks that. No, I think he thinks that.
He might.
And Snoke may.
Well, I think he was just trying to get under.
The way out is that Snoke put that in his head as well.
I was just fixing to say that.
They definitely planted seeds the whole time to where if this isn't going well, we can right our wrong here. I don't necessarily know if that's how I would. Look, there's a lot of things where I'm like, I don't know if that's how I've pictured this story going. But I do like that idea. I think what you said with Rian Johnson and his own trilogy, that's why I honestly love that last sequence. The sequence with the kids, like when he's out there and looking out, that when you see him, you know, pull the broom to the side like a lightsaber, and I'm like, oh, this gives me such hope for where this story can go. And I do look forward to Rian's trilogy. I've read a lot of interviews with him the last couple of days as I've kind of been dissecting this movie the last week. And I've listened to countless podcasts. He's on the Director's Guild podcast this week. And he does make me feel a little more comfortable with the decisions he made. It does make me feel better that Mark Hamill wasn't thrilled with these decisions.
I know.
So part of me is like, well, you know what? Good. Like, I don't feel like alone out here.
I love Mark Hamill. He's, hey, he's been kind to me. He's liked a couple of my tweets. But I will say that I think he's the type of guy that if everybody loved the movie, he'd be like, oh, man, I loved it, too. I knew Ryan Johnson was the guy. And then if everybody hates it, he's going to be like, well, I told him from the beginning it wasn't good. Like, you know.
I think people are just it, – it's the most – like, I've never – had as many problems with the movie and liked and loved the movie just as much. It's divisive. It's interesting. I do want him to have a trilogy of his own that it gives me hope for ways the story can go. Does it invalidate pretty much everything that came before it? Yeah, probably. And that's maybe a problem. And I don't love this concept that I also have to read like 12 books to understand these things. Like I started listening to The Legend of Luke Skywalker, which is kind of fills in the gap and even talks about him doing the fishing and all of that is in the book. And then there's another book that has Haldo in it, her relationship with Princess Leia. I can't dedicate this much time. You're expecting too much of me as a hardcore fan to have to read a bunch of books, most of which a lot of people give sort of mediocre reviews to. You know, I don't know. Like, I've always questioned the same thing. You know, the First Order in the first film was very powerful, but I felt like they were almost the rebellion to the new Republic. Now we flash forward 5 seconds later, and they are as big as the Empire.
Right.
And I believe we'll have a pretty significant time jump in the next one. I think we'll jump forward 5-10 years, and we'll see where everyone's at and give time for Princess Leia to pass away. I think those are things will all happen leading up to the next film, but I don't think we're ever going to get those answers except through books and comics, you know, and maybe a TV show or, you know, I don't think they're going to sit down. I don't think they care to answer those questions in a movie.
I do like what Rian Johnson said, when he addressed the Snoke issue and just, you know, cutting him off, no pun intended. Cutting him in half? Wait.
It was a little bit intended. Come on.
Cutting him down to size.
He said, what if I, of course I'm paraphrasing, but he was like, what if we just stop the movie and, you know, to explain, okay, I'm Darth Plagueis. Like, Rey would literally blink and go, who? Like, and I was like, well, there's some truth to that, you know, but I feel like there was a way to explain it, because it's not our fault. The Force Awakens literally provoked those questions.
Right. That was
like,
that's the J.J. Abrams special. Come up with a lot of questions and no answers.
It's lost. Yeah. I love J.J. I was actually just having this conversation last night, so deja vu. But I love J.J. But I do wonder, like, he has the ability to ask thought-provoking questions, but can he follow through with them? Like, because I know with Lost, he told somebody, I forget who it was, but he looked at the character of John Locke and was like, that guy has a secret. And they were like, what is it? And he goes, I don't know, figure it out.
Right. Like,
so it's like, it was
a different kind of storytelling. I like JJ as well, but historically, even in the Star Trek films, the surprises have always either been very badly kept or are not fulfilled. You know, so I don't know.
Okay. I don't want this podcast to get over without me being able to say this. I've been like wanting to interject this for forever. Everyone thinks I'm crazy, but this is what I want so bad out of these Star Wars movies. We were talking, Logan, you had the idea that, like, you hope Rey converts the old lightsaber into a double bladed lightsaber, which I think would just be an awesome moment for the audience. You know, just, you know, she turns it on and then there's that blue blade and then there's the other one. People will just panic. Like, oh my God. Yeah, I mean, it'll be hysteria. The moment for me that would do that is if Kylo fights Anakin and Anakin destroys him.
Oh, that could be
somehow somehow Hayden Christensen comes back as a Force ghost and just takes Kylo Ren and Hulk to Loki style, just destroys him.
Yeah.
Because I just feel like that would be a moment, and it could redeem Hayden Christensen's character, because everybody would just be like, oh, not him. And then he's just Darth Vader in the hallway of Rogue One. Like, just takes him. Just
that's a very interesting way that he could almost slap some sense into Kylo Ren. And that could be a path to redemption. I like that a lot. I think that'd be amazing. And right now, we've unwritten all rules about the Force. So why couldn't that happen?
You know? Yeah, I mean, Yoda can control lightning.
Control the weather for some reason. Clearly, there's no rules anymore. So whatever, sure. I'm all game for that. I love that idea. Woo! So I think that'd be a blast. Do I think it'll happen? I don't know, because I don't know if they want us to get some of those things. Like,
I know.
That's the thing, is that, that there's – we almost need – this was the Force Awakens part two in a different tone. You know, this was the end of the Force Awakens, and I feel like we're almost going to need another chapter. Like, are we going to get a swerve for, like, episode 9 part 1, episode 9 part 2? Because – how are you going to wrap this up in 2 hours or 2.5 hours with 30 minutes of filler? I don't know. I'm not fully convinced.
Did you say 2 hours with 30 minutes of filler?
Yeah, there was 30 minutes.
Are you talking about Canto Bite?
You know, yeah, I am. That whole thing was so, the thing is, I love the way it tied up at the end. So great. And that's why I'm saying, I feel like there's a point to it now. If that's what we're going to see in the next trilogy, great. There serves a purpose. But that sequence just felt so, again, not in Star Wars. And Kevin Smith brought up, and I was like, dang it, that would have won me over. He's like, I wish that the horse creature things were tauntauns. And I was like, dang it. I would have been like, that would have been a fan service moment that everyone would have loved, because you already been connected to these creatures. There you go.
Oh my God.
It's like, dang it, why are we not get, like, let him do at least a draft?
Like,
that would have changed the entire outlook of how I saw that sequence, because I would have been like, screw it, that was a blast. Instead, what am I watching?
Holy cow. Yeah, I saw his video pop up last night, right? And I clicked on it. I didn't know if he released it last night or if I just missed it. But okay. But I clicked on it and I started watching it, and I was like, nope, I think I'm traveling soon. So I was like, I'm gonna save it for when I'm traveling. So I haven't watched it yet. But that one, you mentioning that, like the Tauntauns, that's why Kevin Smith is Kevin Smith, man.
Yeah, because that little change, like,
yeah,
making something, and I think that was some sort of a problem with that whole sequence as well, is it just didn't feel familiar at all. Like, it just didn't. It felt like Earth. It didn't feel.
It did feel like Earth.
It didn't feel like Star Wars. It just didn't. I mean, that's the one sequence where, and it ended up serving very little purpose other than, I mean, people say, well, you know, they failed, so who cares? Like, no, I think you needed that failure. I like that Finn and Rose failed on that mission, and that, though, Benicio's character really served very little purpose. I wouldn't be surprised if we see him again.
I was just going to say, I don't think we've seen the last of him, and I hope we haven't, because I really kind of dug his character.
I loved the performance. It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually thought he was going to be the one driving that, not the AT-AT, what are the two-legged ones? The one that BB-8 shows up in.
I thought that was going to be AT-ST. Him popping out of the cockpit. I don't know what you're called in this movie.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be him popping out of the cockpit, because he said, you know, sometimes they blast you, sometimes you blast them, or something like that. I thought maybe it would turn out he was double crossing but no, I guess not.
No BB-8
control. I got a better idea. Instead of Tauntauns, what if a bunch of rich dudes in the casino planet were betting like on huts? They were making the huts race. They had like these big giant collars on huts that, like, they had taken them out of power, and now they were abusing them and making them slide across a finish line like snails.
I like that. Something familiar.
Them with cattle prods.
That's funny. Snails racing. Dark. Slugs
racing. A little dark.
I'm fine with that.
Hey, they do it. Didn't you see the movie Turbo? They're snail races.
Said it was hammerhead horses. Anyway.
Well, boys, I'm afraid I got to get back to work.
All right. Well, let's do like a okay. If you're gonna like, do you want to wrap it up? Should we rank these movies? Where does this sit in your ranking? Do you want to give it a rating like an A through F,
ooh,
or do you want to give it a ranking like in your top eight? Where does it fit? It's like MySpace. my Star Wars top eight.
I give it 3.5 Death Stars out of 5. No. No, I don't know. I haven't. I would like to do a ranking of like even including the prequels. I just haven't done it yet. I think I'm waiting to see it a second time. But I do think that my second viewing will affect my opinion of it in a bad way. My opinion on it.
Yeah, I think that's what a lot of people are experiencing. I had the reverse happen to me, but also again, as I've said before, I took my kid and he loved it. And it's kind of hard to not love it when he loves it. I think it's below The Force Awakens to me, below the original trilogy. I would probably put it below Return of the Jedi in my rankings. I go A New Hope first. I go in order. A New Hope, Empire, Jedi. And the three phases. A lot of people say Empire's best. I understand that. It's an incredible film. They're all pretty darn close to me in these rankings. So you have...
The same with you. I put the original first because it's first.
Yeah, and it tells a different... It tells a whole story. And it's its own complete piece. And I like the slow vibe. I just like a lot of it. And it's the first one I saw. So Star Wars, you know, to me, then Empire. Then I would go... Actually, I think I'd go Empire, maybe Force Awakens, Jedi... I'll keep Rogue One out of this one thing. After Return of the Jedi, then maybe The Last Jedi, Revenge of the Sith, Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones. And I haven't watched Revenge of the Sith in a while, so I don't know if that would – if that one maybe could be better than The Last Jedi. I don't think so. I think just having Luke Skywalker on screen was enough for me to put it higher than the prequels. So, I don't know.
Everybody's ranking bar. Sorry, I know you got to go, but everybody's ranking like Rogue One in with the films. And I get that because, I mean, it's part of the story. I think I'm not going to do that. I think I'm going to put like, Rogue One, Solo, and then whatever's
coming
next.
It's like its own thing. And Rogue One, I'm gonna pretty rank much those. Perfect. So, I mean, it's pretty hard for me to argue that movie is not really high up there.
Somebody was talking about C-3PO and R2-D2 on YouTube, and they were like, oh, yes, sorry. K2SO and BB-8 have replaced you both in our hearts.
I was like, yeah, I mean,
disagree.
I was like, yeah, it's kind of true.
Disagree.
Poor C-3PO barely gets a cameo.
Yeah, 3PO gets crapped on the whole movie. yeah. I felt bad for 3PO. I think R2 had very little to do, but R2's scene was really pivotal.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so I really loved R2 sequence, but I love the BB-8. I love K2, but
Chewie was just set dressing too for most of the movie. Chewie was barely even in it.
Chewie not
even standing in the background except when he threw the door off. That was about it.
Come on, I wanted Chewie mourning. I needed sad Chewie.
Me too.
And Luke mourning.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I need to give a quick shout out to our buddy Bart because I texted him last night and told him his vlogs have like brightened my day. For those who don't know, I've been down with the flu and his videos have brightened my nights. I don't know why I was cracking up last night when he was at Trader Sam's, or he wasn't at Trader Sam's last night, but the video I was watching, he was at Trader Sam's and I was cracking up. Like, you guys need to go over to his channel, check it out. And Logan, you know, he's there doing stuff on his channels.
Thanks, that makes me feel better.
I'm easy with the compliments.
Stuff. I'm enjoying Bart's vlog. Bart also, we're just going to make this the Bart off here. Also, his new episode of Ears of Steel is up. So go take a listen to that.
That's true.
Retread some of this, but not a whole lot. And I do stuff on the occasion.
Logan's doing stuff.
The final screening of Welcome Home, Dick Van Dyke, happens in a couple weeks.
You put a new WW today out this week.
And then we release it. I put a new WW. I haven't done a scare zone in about 2 months. I got to get back on that.
What?
Since Halloween, it's been a rough couple months. And then I will be doing we'll be releasing the Dick Van Dyke movie here probably next month. And
I got
another project in March I can't yet talk about. And we have the pod cruise. You can still book. You do, I think, have to pay in full now, but you can book. I just planned out some of our events and activities. I'm going to some weird Broadway show at 10 o'clock at night, which is like, it's like a 70s, 80s, 45 minute, maybe drag show. I'm not
still
sure.
The Queen of the Desert.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's, yeah, the Queen of the Desert. But it's like edited down. It's like a 45 minute version. Yeah. So I'll be doing that on the ship. We're going to have a lot of fun. So
it's more Tu Wong Fu at this point.
Exactly. All right. Well, take us home.
Well, folks, I think we've done, we did, I hope, if you hadn't seen the movie, I really hope you heeded our warning to skip over this episode till you see it. But it's on you at this point. What can I tell you?
It's all your fault.
Yeah, we warned you. But think about hut races for the next movie. I think that would be a pivotal moment for everyone's childhood. And, I mean, that's it. I don't, Tyler, did we learn anything this week besides that you had the flu? I hope you're feeling better. I hope you have chicken soup for lunch.
I'm not eating chicken soup for another 10 years.
No, okay, good.
I've had way too much.
That was no soup for a decade.
We've learned that Snoke is not important.
No.
And the tropical snowstorm or whatever it's called at Trader Sam's is pretty good. Right?
It is Christmas in a cup.
And
in fact, I may actually try to replicate it on Christmas Eve.
And Merry Christmas to everyone. We won't talk to people till after.
Oh, that's right.
Merry Christmas.
Are we going to do a show next week? We haven't even talked about it. I mean, are you boys around?
Yeah, I'm around.
Yeah, I'm around.
The 28th.
I may.
And then you're coming in town. Yeah. So.
Well, not before next Thursday. Thursday.
Oh, you're going to be here New Year's?
Yeah, we're partying.
I'll be here New Year's, sir. That's right.
What?
If you want to come, Tyler?
Huh?
Just let me know.
I'm flying in New Year's Eve morning.
I might.
All right. Hit me.
That sounds like a plan.
Good thing to say, but.
All right.
All right. We'll come out. Maybe we'll just hold off and do a live show. Or not live show, but you know what I mean.
From Jimmy Buffett.
Heck right. Yeah.
That would be interesting. We're in the bathroom.
Hey, Jimmy, what are you doing in here?
Wow. A film crew. There. That was from that creepy 70s video that only Logan knows what I'm talking about.
Yep.
I have no idea.
I'm just waking up from a nap.
Waking up. Film.
All right.
Anyway, folks, we hope you have a wonderful Christmas. Happy holidays. Stay warm out there. I don't know about you guys. It's going to be freezing here for Christmas. Santa's going to have to double up on the layers. But most importantly, ladies and gentlemen, we love you. And we hope you enjoyed your lunch. Goodbye, gang.
See y'all later.